Welcome to Hungry Authors, the show for aspiring authors who will stop at nothing to accomplish their writing and publishing dreams.
We're your hosts, Liz and Ariel, and we're honored that you're here. Let's dive in.
Hey, Hungry Authors, welcome back to the podcast. We are super excited to have Gayla Jackson with us today. She is an executive career and leadership development coach, and her new book, Courage, Clarity, and Confidence, Redefine Success and the Way You Work, just came out from Wiley, just like a couple months ago as of the time of this podcast coming out. So we are super excited to have her on with us today. Gayla, welcome.
You. I am so excited to be here. I'm so excited to talk to your audience and share all the things about being a new author. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, you are in the trenches right now. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your work as a coach and then how that ties into your book?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I became the career coach that I was looking for and could not find early in my career. I had checked all the boxes, you know, like you go to college, you get a degree, you get a job, you know, you buy a house and all those types of things, and realized that I was not happy. I wasn't fulfilled. And I thought something was wrong with me. And I thought I should be grateful. I should be happy. And I was grateful, but I just wasn't happy. And I was like, I think I might need a career coach. Like, I just feel really stuck in my career. And at that time, when I was looking for a coach, all I saw was older white men that were very expensive. And I was like, okay, well, this is not going to work. I don't feel like you're going to be able to relate to my story. And I don't know that I can afford you either as a young professional. And long story short, you know, I started digging around and poking around in resume writing and career coaching. And before I knew it, I decided to get some certifications and become a coach myself and help young professionals who were experiencing some of the things that I was experiencing in my career. And so fast forward, gosh, this is year 13 or 14 that I've been doing this work. I absolutely love, 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 and have found my passion in supporting other professionals, particularly women who are in the trenches of their career, usually mid-level, and hit that place where I call it a plateau. And they're like, this is not working. Something is wrong. And I need to pivot or transition. And I don't know how to do it. And that's what my career is about. And that's what this book is about.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And do you remember how we were originally connected? I'm trying to remember right now, but I know when I remember seeing you like first on Instagram, I think, and just something about like your message and everything that I saw you doing on Instagram, I was like, ooh, this is going to be fun. Like, I'm so excited to work with her. It was just, yeah. You know, I loved just the energy that you bring to your Instagram, but also just, you know, your heart and your passion for encouraging women in their careers. And I felt like, you know, I was at an interesting time in my career too, having just started freelancing and everything. And I was like, I want to work with her because I need her wisdom too.
It was definitely a mutual relationship for sure. There are definitely benefits on both sides. So, you know, in the process of writing this book, you know, you start out on a blank page, right? Like most people do. And you somehow magically think you're going to get to a book, right? Yeah. And I quickly realized that that's not how this is going to work at all, right? I was like, and I started looking for what's the process of writing a book and what is a book coach? And like, surely there's someone who's like in the coaching space that can help. And I found you. Okay. And you were talking about book mapping. And I was like, yeah, I need all of that. I need a plan. I have all these ideas and they're really good, but I don't know how to translate them onto the page in a way that produces a book. And I did, you know, obviously my due diligence. And I was like, Ariel's the one. I've got to work with her. She's got this book mapping process that looks really cool. She's got a great resume. People have wonderful things to say about her. And so I was like, okay, I scheduled the consultation and here we are.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And that was so much fun.
So much fun. And like, even thinking about where we are now, right? Like how much our lives have overlapped and like crossed over in different ways. And I just love that we get to stay in touch and get to do this podcast and all those things.
Yeah. So Gayla, even though you worked with Ariel, so I wasn't intimately part of your writing process, but I know that you ran into some serious stumbling blocks and had some major life events all in the midst of trying to write this book. So, would you share, to the extent that you feel comfortable, like what else was going on in your life and how you managed to keep writing a full-length book on a deadline in the midst of, all kinds of other things? Like most people who write books, like that's not the only thing they're doing, right? They've got plenty of other
That's right.
things and life happens in the midst of it. So tell us what that was like.
That's right. Liz, we're friends by association, so don't you worry. I'm so
That's
excited. I
right.
feel like we've known
I
each
was
other
probably
just
there
as
in
long as I've known Ariel.
spirit.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So I talk about this in the beginning of the book. I do a note from the author because I felt like I had to give context to what was happening in my life during the process of writing this book. So from the time that I got an email from the editor, I had lost my father. Shortly thereafter, I lost my best friend in a tragic car accident. I had to put my dog down. She was my first fur baby. I'd had her for almost 18 years. There was a lot of loss and a lot of grief happening, but there was also some really incredible highs. So I married my husband, and then we started trying for a baby and found out that we got pregnant very quickly. I'm still like working, navigating grief and loss, navigating, being married and a new wife and finding out that I'm pregnant. And shortly after I found out I was pregnant, I was laid off from the job that I was working at the time. So another hit with loss. So I had to pivot back into starting my business. And so there were times that I just put the book down completely and I just thought, there's no way this is going to happen. Like, so much is happening. With a lot of stress. My son ended up being born prematurely in the writing process when I decided to pick it back up. And we had a long NICU stay. And that was brand new territory. And so I'm putting the book down again. I'm like, there's no, I don't have capacity to do that. But once things began to normalize, we got him home and he was doing great and is still doing great. He's thriving. It's wild to think that he's 18 months now, which is crazy. I mean, you would never know he was a preemie. And things, in that process, once we got him home and things normalized, I was like, okay, I still feel the draw to this book. And I think other people will relate to that. If you're creative, if you're trying to produce a project that you feel called to create, if I could use that language, it sits, like it doesn't go away. In those moments where you do have some downtime, in the moments where you do have some capacity, it shows up. The scary part outside of all the personal stuff that I was dealing with was going to my publisher and saying, I'm going to need more time. I know I have this deadline, but this is where I am and this is what's going on. And I was terrified because, I was a new author. I didn't know if they would rescind the book deal, if they would say, this is not going to work out. This is not a thing. But I quickly realized that they really believed in the message and also felt that the experiences that I was navigating would add a depth and richness to the work, however I chose to include it or not include it. And I really appreciated that. And so it was hard with a looming deadline. But it was nice to have those moments to turn to something as a creative outlet or as a release, right? And just writing. And we know that everything we write doesn't make the final cut and we don't submit it. But writing is cathartic, always has been for me. So getting back on the page was helpful. But the biggest lesson I learned was being able to ask for help and say, this is what's going on, and I need more time, and being willing to surrender the outcome. I think that's a big one. You didn't ask me this, but I just want to talk about that for a second, because that was a big one for me, is in the midst of all of that change, I had to surrender like these expectations of hitting a bestsellers list and these expectations of this book being this big impact in the world, when it immediately releases. And in surrendering all of that, you fall in love with the creative process of writing. And I said to myself, just write what's in your spirit, what's on your heart to write, and let that be enough. Let that be the accomplishment, is that you're writing, that you are navigating the process, and that you're going to complete this work. And whatever happens with the completed work really is none of your business. Your job is to just get the work done. Yeah,
Yes.
that was a mouthful.
I love it. Well, and what incredible courage you had to release the outcomes and go to your publisher and say, I think multiple times, like, I need more time. It's not going to happen, at the original date. I've got all these things going on in my life. You had to be so incredibly vulnerable. And there is a chance, that they're going to say, that's not what we signed up for. It's rare, but it does happen. And
That's
that's,
right.
I see so much courage in your ability to advocate for what you needed, regardless of those outcomes. I think a lot of authors would also, kill themselves to try to make that deadline and, to not risk losing this dream that they have. And so I see this incredible like faith and courage that you had, that you just have to kind of do what you had to do, and you had to protect yourself, and your family in the process. And, it just wasn't the right time.
Yeah. And trust me, there were moments where I was pressing so hard to meet the deadline before I had to communicate that it did feel like, okay, it doesn't matter if you're not here. This book
Yes.
deal doesn't matter, right? And you're right. Like I tried to turn myself inside out to meet the initial deadline. I mean, as you mentioned, Ariel, we had to push the deadline out a couple of times because life kept happening to me. But I just was okay with the fact that if they said, this isn't what we signed up for, this is not going to work out, I knew that this book was still going to get written and I knew that it would still go out into the world, whether I had to, and I think we might have talked about this, whether I had to self-publish it or pitch for a book deal down the road, I knew that this work was still going to happen. It just worked out for me that in that place of vulnerability and transparency, they were like, yeah. We're still with you, though. We still believe in this message. And that was huge for me.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I have so much respect for that because to offer a counter story of what not to do. So I've talked on this podcast before about how about 19 months ago, I had a loss. One of my younger brothers died suddenly.
I'm
And I
sorry.
was, thank you. My daughter was, my son was 2, my daughter was 9 months old. So I was like 9 months postpartum with her, and I was about 6 months into my freelancing career. I'd been ghostwriting for a long time, but I was like pretty new to doing it on my own. And so my brother passed. But what I haven't talked about before is that when that happened, I was 12 days from a big deadline, like my first deadline, like my first big ghostwriting deadline. And so I had to call, the publisher and the project manager. And but like the funny thing is I didn't for a couple days. Like it happened, I went down to Florida, we were planning everything, and then I just dawned on me like, okay, I'm gonna have to say something, like, because I'm not gonna be like on email. I've got to let somebody know what's going on. But I really didn't want the client to know because I didn't want him to worry about me mentally that I was going to deliver. So I leveled with the publisher and the project manager, and I was like, listen, this is what's going on, but don't worry, like I'm going to hit it. I just need you to know that if I'm not as responsive, like I'm down in Florida, dealing with all this stuff. And I remember the project manager being like, Liz, like take a week, like it's okay. And I was just like, no, do not tell him. I will get it done. Just give me, like, just sort of cover for me if I don't email as quickly, but I will get it done. And I did. But in hindsight, I'm like, what in the world? Like, it wasn't that important, Like, and so it wasn't like those early weeks for me of dealing with my brother's death are also marked by trying to meet this deadline. And this client was lovely. He was cool. We had a great relationship. It wasn't even a traditional deadline. So it wasn't even like, there was Obviously all deadlines are important, but it wasn't like there was we were going to set into motion something that couldn't be undone or anyway, I was just it was my first deadline. I was terrified to not come through. They weren't going to hire me again. They were going to think that I wasn't professional. You know what I mean? Like I
That's
just
right, that's right.
the whole world was going to come down. And so I did make it, but in hindsight, I'm like, give me a break. What was I doing? There's no reason for that. And I would never do that now. But so anyway, all that to say, like, I love, what you did and just making room for like you being a whole person, trusting your team and that being honest with them about what's going on and what you need to, deal with everything else in your life and deliver a good product and trusting, letting go of the outcome and trusting that no matter what, the book will still happen. And if it isn't the outcome that you were hoping for, then they weren't the team for you. You know, that like that
That's
something
right.
else was gonna come of it and that it will that it will all work out. So
So true. And I want to say too, like I didn't go into that like as pleasantly as it sounds. You know, I went in kicking and screaming, like lots of tears, lots of like, oh my God, you know, like this is the end. Like I've gotten to this point in my career. I've worked so hard to get to this place, and now I'm about to blow it up. Like, you know, like I did not go willingly through that process, but you do hit a wall where you're like, okay, I can't hide this. I can't act like this is fine. I mean, I'm writing a book about courage, clarity, and confidence, and I feel like I have none of those things, right? Like, I had to say something, and it is hard, Liz. It's so hard, right? But one of the things that I know is time always tells the truth, and what's always meant to be will be one way or the other. That's at least my experience in life. And so I said, okay, I have to surrender this. I have a child to keep alive, myself to keep alive. The creative process will always be.
Actually, it's so funny you say that because I, when you were talking, it reminded me of something my old boss used to say, which is like, Ariel, if something comes up, like it's not that important. The book is not the priority. We're not saving babies out here, but like you were actually saving a baby. So you had to put that first. Your book, and
Literally.
contrary, yes, like contrary to what people say, a book is not a baby, and you had an actual baby who needed saving, and so that was definitely
That's
needing to
right.
come first.
That's right. That's right. And life is, you know, I believe in always being the student. And I feel like it was really important for all of those life experiences to happen to make sure I really understood the magnitude of what it meant to be courageous, what it meant to be clear on what's really important to you and what your values are, and can you actually live that out? And then can you be confident in your conviction, right? The decisions that you've made. And so it's interesting, right? Like the work that we seek to create, life has a really interesting way of kind of fact checking in a sense, like, do you really believe what you're about to put on this page and what you're about to say? Because this is, you have the ability as a writer to change someone's life, right? Like to change their perspective, to change their trajectory. And so what you put on the page needs to be authentic, right? It needs to be real. And so I think that that was just in a weird kind of way, making sure that I really wrote authentically. I'm a perfectionist, a recovering perfectionist. You know, being a career coach, there's an expectation to be so polished and put together and all of these things, right? But when you're writing a book like the one that I wrote, you have to put all that down and get really honest. And I think that's one of the things I love about the creative process. It changes you and others, right?
Yes, one of our mentors, Jeff Goins, talks about often how you are all authors end up writing the book that they need at that moment.
That's
And it
right.
sounds like that's, I mean, that was very, very true for you, kind of to the extreme
Yes.
for sure.
Yes.
But I
For
also
sure.
love that, you truly did and do believe so passionately in this idea that despite like everything going on and like you said you knew that you were going to come back to this idea even if it meant the publisher wanted to break the contract, or they weren't going to support you anymore, you were like, it's going to be okay because this book is still going to happen because it needs to be written and I'm the right person to write it. And you did have confidence in yourself in that way, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think when you are convicted by a message, right? It's the message in this book that I talk about is the foundation of my coaching practice, right? Right. And I know that I've had the privilege of helping so many women, right, with this kind of methodology that I've used and this coaching foundation that I have, that I knew that some way or another, right, it would make its way to wherever it was supposed to be. But yes, that goes back to my values, right, which I talk about in the book, right, and being really led by your values and using them as a North Star. But if I didn't have those values in place or that belief in place, I don't know that I'd talk about it, and be on this side of it.
So Gayla, let's talk a little bit about the content of your book. We talk to a lot of nonfiction writers who want to, they have an expertise of some kind, they know a lot about something, either a process or a subject matter, and they want to turn it into a book. So tell us what the process was like, what it felt like to take your coaching practice, basically, and turn that into, a process, a method in a book that could help people without you sort of being physically there to coach them. Like, what did it feel like to take your coaching method and turn it into a book?
So I was clear, obviously, on the method, right? Like, my background is in higher education, so curriculum development, like creating courses, that's my wheelhouse, right? So I was like, oh, I'm clear on the methodology. What I was not clear about was stepping into the belief that I could be a storyteller too. And recognizing that in order to bring this book to life, I would have to have stories, right? To actually walk someone through the methodology. And so when you're working with a client one-on-one, they're the story, right? Their life is the story. And then your life and your experiences kind of can become like a complement in some ways to that. And so in working with Ariel as my coach, so one thing she talked about, she's like, hey, you gotta tell a story. Like, do you have something that illustrates this point? Can you take your reader on a journey? And I remember thinking, I'm not a storyteller. That's not what I do. And she's like, yes, you are. And I was like, how so? And going through the book mapping process, and she's like, this point that you talk about is really rich. Like, can you think of an example, right? Like of a client or something in your own life that would illustrate this? And I was like, oh yeah, I can. And before long, I was like, okay, touche. Maybe I am a little bit of a storyteller. But I think that's the pieces, being clear on the message that you want to share, but then making sure that you have ways to illustrate that message, right? Can I walk someone through this key point or this key methodology through a story, right? That actually takes them on a journey to drive home the point. And it became easier for me when I thought about it more like a conversation, like going back to that kind of mental space where I was working with a client. And thinking about what was I thinking and what were they thinking and how do we arrive at this particular destination with this, method in the coaching practice. And so that was the process for me. I can't stress enough the importance of the book mapping, right? And actually putting down on the page what is it that you have so far and where are the gaps that you need to fill in. And then filling in those gaps by just going back to those conversations or going back to that time where that principle really rang true for you, and first kind of hit you, right? But that's what I think about in terms of being able to translate it. I struggled in the beginning, right? Being able to do that, but I made it.
Hey friends, it's that time again. If you've been wanting to learn about our bespoke book mapping process that has helped hundreds of authors plan and write the book of their dreams, we have good news. Registration is now open for our next Map Your Book cohort, which runs May 7th through June 4th. In 5 90-minute sessions and weekly Q&A meetings, we'll help you figure out your book's transformation and teach you how to map out your entire book chapter by chapter. Book mapping is the invisible matrix that makes books work. We're going to teach you how to see it and how to do it for your own book. Head to mapyourbook.com to learn more and sign up for our May cohort. And I remember we had a lot of conversations about, you know, I would ask you, you know, what would you say if this was kind of the scenario or the problem that a woman came to you with in their career? And you were like, well, I would ask them all these questions. So we had to really wrestle with it. And I think this is very true for not just coaches, like coaches definitely face this problem, but also like marriage and family therapists or, you know, counselors of any kind, or even like, you know, parenting experts. They're so used to working one-on-one with someone where you're, you know, as the professional in that scenario, you are responding to a very specific scenario that that person who's coming to you has. And so you're able to ask questions and kind of dig underneath, you know, underneath the surface of what they're coming to you with. But as a, you know, an author, you can't just have an entire chapter that's like just a list of questions. Because then you don't know, you know, and you're not there, like Liz said, to interact with the reader and have a conversation with them. So you have to simulate that conversation in the book itself. And that is a very different mindset that a lot of authors don't know how to, you know, how to handle that at first. So it's a skill that has to be learned for sure.
Definitely a skill that has to be cultivated. And you brought up a really great point, right? Because when you work with individuals one-on-one, the stories can vary drastically. But you know, as the practitioner, right, to use a more general term to cover everyone, that there are certain questions that you're going to ask every client, right? Or there are certain pieces that you're going to bring up with every client. And so when you and I were working together, it was finding what are some of the universal themes or the universal conversations that you would have. And also feel free, like I did, to create exercises in the book that the reader can actually go through as if they were your client. And so I love a good book that has exercises for you to do as you go along to actually like make the work come alive. And I was thrilled to know that I could do that in my own book, right? And so in Encourage Clarity and Confidence, at the end of almost every chapter, once you get into the second part of the book, there are exercises for the reader to do to actually make this material come alive. So you get an example, an illustration, you get the principle broken down, and then you have the opportunity to apply it. And I really love that model and knowing that I could create that for the reader.
Yeah, that's awesome. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to publish traditionally. Obviously, you had lots of options and, you know, might have even had to consider them if, you know, things hadn't gone, if your publishing team, you know, wasn't awesome and understanding about everything. But tell us, like, from the beginning, why did you set out to traditionally publish?
That's a great question. And the honest answer is I didn't set out to publish anything at that particular season of my life. So obviously in the back of my mind, it's been a long dream of mine to write a book, you know, and I love writing and I love journaling and always keep that as a regular practice. But I was actually doing a lot of Instagram stories and Instagram lives talking about career things and women in their careers and like giving advice and just consistently showing up in a way that was visible and adding value to followers. And I literally opened my email late one night before going to bed. And I had an email from my editor, my acquisitions editor, and said, have you ever thought about writing a book? I thought that it was a scam. No lie. I thought it was a scam because as a business owner, you get all these emails and like LinkedIn messages and stuff, you know, people trying to sell you things, you know, you're like, oh, if you pay $20,000, you know, all this stuff, right? I literally Googled everything about this woman to make sure that she was legit and actually worked at Wiley and all of these things before I responded. And I responded to her and I was like, yes, I have thought about it. Tell me more, you know? And she's like, let's set up a call. And we had a lovely conversation. And, you know, long story short, right, it turned into, you know, this book. Now, prior to signing with them, I did have one of those moments and thought, okay, is this the right way to go? What are the pros and cons of going with a traditional publisher versus self-publishing? And how is this all going to work out? And I was obviously new to this, as most people are. The one thing that made me say yes, among other things, but the one thing that was overarching is being able to have a team along with me on this process. That was huge, right? So being able to work with the Wiley team, who's been phenomenal, right? To have someone read the work that I was creating, give me feedback, help, kind of shape the direction of the content a little bit and like flesh it out and make sure all the pieces were there. And then to have the marketing engine behind it. I already had enough on my plate, right? So trying to figure out, Amazon and these algorithms and how to get it into bookstores and stuff like that was something I knew nothing about. And so I said, okay, this is going to be the right path for me at this time. And it was a really great deal. I didn't think that I would get a book advance as a first-time author, but I just said, I don't have anything to lose. I'm going to lose. I'm going to write this book. I might as well ask, right? And simply asking, right, turned into being able to get a book advance to help get this book out into the world. But those were the things that made me decide that I wanted to traditionally publish, to say, I have a global publisher who's reached out, right? But even in that, let me make sure this is the right thing for me. Right. And that this is the pathway I want to go down as an author. And how do I feel about all these terms and conditions that I'm agreeing to? But they ended up being the right choice for me.
Yeah, and what's kind of unique and might be surprising to some of our listeners is that you didn't have a literary agent and you didn't need
I did
one,
not.
because they, the publisher reached out to you specifically. And for listeners who are not familiar with Wiley, Wiley is a professional publisher. They, they publish books for professionals primarily. They're not like a trade, big five publisher. They are an independent publisher. They are quite big. They also publish a lot of academic books. They're, they're quite, their catalog is quite extensive, but it's all, very much kind of in the professional sphere. And so, going with an independent publisher, you don't always need a literary agent. And in your case, it actually happens more often than people think that acquisitions editors at independent publishers, and that was me too. I would be that person reaching out to authors and being like, "Hey, have you ever thought about writing a book?" And that surprises a lot of authors because typically, the story in traditional publishing is, "Oh, you have to, query agents for so long, and you have to, do all these things and jump through all these ho hoops and build a platform, and you have to kind of do all those things too." But in the independent traditional publishing space, things work a little bit differently than the big five publishing space. And I think that's important to note here, because it is a little bit more accessible and can be an amazing partnership.
Yeah. And Gayla,
That's
you said you were, she kind of slid into your DMs or whatever because you were doing lives on Instagram. And I just want to point out for our listeners, obviously, Gayla, you have an amazing business and your TED Talk, you're a TED Talker, and you've got mentions in some publications, but you have 2,200 Instagram followers now, which isn't like the hundreds of thousands that sometimes people think
It's
you.
not.
And so,
Yeah,
like,
it's
an
not.
editor found Gayla
Yep.
through her Instagram lives and her Instagram message, and she has 2,000 Instagram followers. So, guys, put your ideas out there. You never know who's watching and listening, and you don't have to have 100,000 followers. You just have to have a good idea, and maybe somebody will find you. You never know.
Yeah, I think consistency is so important, right? And then being willing to partner with other entities and brands to, communicate your message, to speak to their audience. Like those things are really important. So I had my Instagram, I had my LinkedIn. I was doing some work with other companies, right, at that time, and was showing up in different places. And I had a blog on my website, so there was an immediate example of my work. And she referenced that. She said, I noticed that you have a blog on your website. Have you thought about writing a book? Right. And so it gives them a sample of your writing. But I tell people that now when they're asking me, like, how do you get a book deal? I say, are you consistently showing up? Right. And do you have samples of your work like on a website, like a blog or whatever, or Substack? I'm a huge fan of Substack, where people can actually see samples of your writing style and your work. And so those things really matter. I agree, Liz, spot on. And same for you, Ariel. Like, you don't have to have this big engine or team behind you. I definitely didn't. But I had a message I believed in, and I consistently kept showing up.
Yes, I love that. So, has there been anything really surprising about the traditional publishing process, especially now that you are launching the book, you are kind of in that mode now. Has there been anything really surprising or awesome, not so awesome about that process?
You don't know what you don't know the first time you do something, right? So I had lots of questions and felt like, oh, let me like go and check before this meeting and make sure I kind of understand what's going to come up in this meeting. So like, just being comfortable, saying, okay, this is my first time. I don't know what I don't know. Can someone please walk me through this, right? Can I talk to this person that leads like this area that can break down for me exactly what's going to happen? I will say the one thing I feel like I've been surprised by is like marketing. I really didn't understand what was going to happen with marketing. And to be honest, I thought it would be more robust than what it is. But the marketing is really making sure that the book is accessible to individuals who want to purchase, right? And making sure that the back end pieces point back to your book, so you'll see on Amazon, readers of this book also recommend this, right? And you want to be in those categories. So that was a huge lift that I am so grateful for. I just thought that there would be more marketing, I guess. And so I'm figuring all those pieces out, right? Like, how do I really navigate the marketing pieces? Some of the things that I learned is that, and you all can add to this conversation as being experts, but I was shocked to know how difficult it is to sell to individual consumers. And that most of the time, books happen in bulk orders from companies or other organizations, right, that are behind the author and partnership with the author to really boost sales and like get on these bestseller lists. I did not realize how difficult it was to sell individually, right? I mean, and you think about it, there's so many books, right? And you think, oh my gosh, people are consuming books all the time, right? What do you mean? So I learned a lot about, like the publishing world and about readers and how difficult it is. And so to be in the position that I am now and to have the number of sales that I have, it's modest, but in the context of how difficult it is to sell, we're doing really great. And so I'm really excited about that. And I'm working on some, obviously, some corporate opportunities, right, where there'll be more bulk buys. But I'm really interested in the individual reader who has just said, man, I believe in your message. I believe in you. I can't wait to digest this book. And it's been so nice to hear from readers who are reading the book and highlighting the pages and resharing it on Instagram. We're sharing it on LinkedIn. It's just wonderful to know that it's out in the world and it's doing what I hoped it would do.
Yes. Okay. So, Gayla, I remember when we met, you told me you're the daughter of a preacher and you know how to reach an audience. You know how to inspire people. You were like, I'm a speaker. I can bring a good message. So, my question for you is there anything you want to say to the other aspiring writers out there to inspire them, encourage them on this journey? Is there anything you want them to know about bringing courage, clarity, and confidence to the writing life?
Oh my goodness, that's such a good question. The thing that I kept hearing that was really instrumental for me is that the world needs your words. It needs your perspective. It needs your work. And no one is going to tell it the way that you tell it, through the lens that you tell it, with the perspective that you have, with the understanding that you have. And I think so often we get caught up in the fact that somebody already has my idea, or so many people are already talking about this. There's no space for me here. There is space for you. And there will always be a specific audience that's drawn to your message and the way that you tell it through the lens of your perspective. And that was incredibly valuable to me. So I will share that. And I want you all to know that writing is a gift, right? It is a gift, and it is necessary for you to show up on that page consistently, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for an audience, or it's for a future publication that you're working towards. But all of that matters. Now that I'm a mom and a wife, I think about legacy a lot. And there'll be a ton of journals that my son will have, right? For years and years and years, and that my family will have for years and years and years. There's a book now, right? All of that writing and just consistently showing up has led to a book that's been traditionally published. And so wherever you are in your journey or along your process, know that putting yourself on the page matters. It may not feel like it matters in the moment, but I trust that you'll be able to look back and say, man, I'm glad I consistently showed up and I put these words on the page, whether they're just for myself or my family, or they lead to something much bigger. There's incredible value in your words.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's the perfect thing to end on. Lovely. Gayla, why don't you tell everybody where they can keep up with you? What's the best way to connect?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So if you want to learn all things about the book and what I'm doing with the book, you can go to courageclarityandconfidence.com. Courageclarityconfidence.com. There's no and. I say it, but there's no and there. It's just courageclarityconfidence.com. That's all things related to the book and speaking engagements. There's also a link to join the free online career coaching community that goes in tandem with the book, where you can actually download the exercises from the book as like a printout and do the work and put in a notebook. You can also visit me at GaylaJackson.com for all things book related and non-book related. GaylaJackson.com. You can link to my Substack if you want to follow along with my life every week as a new author. And of course, you can always connect with me on LinkedIn at Gayla Jackson. And of course, Instagram. Listen, I'm always on
Yeah.
Instagram at Gayla underscore Jackson.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you're a hungry author and you want to learn more about our community and courses, head over to hungryauthors.com. Remember, you have a story and a message worth sharing, and if you've got the hunger, you can make it happen.